Item 47, and let's also do 51A. So we could read 51A first, please, and then 47, and we'll have the city attorney staff present on both.
51A, authorize the city attorney to institute proceedings challenging the district attorney's order in the petition of Mark Bartlett. 47, authorize the city attorney to appeal the declaratory judgment and permanent injunction in Joseph Walsh v. Brian Enga et al.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor Hales, members of the council. I'm Harry Arbeck from the city attorney's office. With me is Dan Simon, who was one of the lawyers who litigated the Joe Walsh matter. I'll start by speaking to the Bartlett appeal. Mr. Bartlett requested certain city attorney opinions through a public records request. We denied the request on the basis of attorney-client privilege, and he appealed to the district attorney. The district attorney issued an order ordering us to disclose the records on the basis of a ORS 192.495, which provides that notwithstanding any of the exemptions in the Act, all public records are disclosable if they're 25 years, after 25 years. We believe that this is contrary to our obligations under the statute that maintains attorney-client privilege. We think it will make it more difficult for us to provide you with sensitive legal advice and to get sensitive information from, candid and sensitive information from you and the folks who work for you in order for us to provide you with the legal advice and representation that is our obligation to provide. So we are asking for authorization to seek review of this through filing an action in the circuit court.
Harry, you want to take questions on each separately?
Yes, whatever pleases the council.
So let me thank you for your presentation. Let me pose a concern. I'd like to get your reaction. Given the current timeline on Superfund, it is entirely likely that the Superfund process, which is the federally mandated process for addressing the cleanup of the river, will not be concluded within a 25-year time frame.
That's entirely plausible.
In fact, given that we're now, 11, 12, 13, 14 years of drift and great uncertainty about what's going to happen going forward, so it's possible that Superfund and some of the most important decisions in Superfund will not be resolved within a 25-year period. In Superfund, the city is a PRP, meaning a potentially responsible party. And there's a doctrine in the law that applies to Superfund, which is called joint and several liability. It essentially says whoever's standing at the end has to pick up the tab for people that can't pay, which for a public entity puts taxpayers at particular peril. Under the ruling of the district attorney, if we're still in the midst of determining the city's share of responsibility for Superfund and determining how to allocate that share, could we be required to turn over confidential attorney-client privilege documents in which we've received legal advice from the city attorney's office about our potential liability and how we should address those issues?
Yes. The current opinion doesn't address live controversies that have gone on for 25 years, but unless we were able to convince the district attorney to change his mind, that would be true.
So I offer that as a cautionary tale because Superfund is not the only example of a federal regulatory action which goes on forever. The federal rules about reservoirs have gone on for a long time, and the city's response to them. There are other sensitive areas where, under the theory that you've presented to us, we could still be in a complex, contested proceeding where someone could successfully appeal to the district attorney to have attorney-client privilege documents turned over, even though the matter has not been resolved. So that's a concern that I have. And it does strike me that without clarification of the contours of the statute, we could be in a situation where we're forced to turn over documents that are greatly disadvantage the council, the city, and the taxpayer.
That would be true.
I'm sorry I missed part of this discussion, but I just read District Attorney Underhill's letter this morning, you know, particularly on page 2, he cites the statute and says it's unambiguous. So if there is a need for statutory repair, maybe we should make the case that there's a need for statutory repair. But if the district attorney says this is the law on this particular subject, I find that fairly persuasive, and I'm not sure why we would mount an appeal for 25-year-old records. So I'm a little perplexed by this one.
Well, it's unfortunate that you just missed the discussion with Commissioner Fish because he gave it a really good reason.
Right. Also, this technically is your resolution, Mayor. I mean, the reason is...
No, it's actually not. It came from the city attorney.
Reports to you.
Yeah, well...
If you had a concern about this, I think as a colleague, I would appreciate a heads up about that.
I didn't know about it until last night.
You didn't know about a 4/5 that we had to sign?
Sorry,
on the agenda?
I didn't know.
Okay. So the issue that I have flagged for you and my colleagues is Superfund, where it's entirely possible that within the 25-year period covered by this ruling, we would have to turn over opinion letters from the city attorney's office before we've resolved the liability and allocation process. And I think that's a real problem. And as you know, Mayor, one of our frustrations with Superfund is it's going to outlive our grandchildren at the current pace. And under this ruling, even with Superfund still pending, we would have to turn over, in response to a public records request, at some point, legal opinions we got at the beginning of Superfund. So I was persuaded on that basis that it would be prudent to get to file an appeal just to make sure that the statutory interpretation of the district attorney, who, by the way, I have a lot of respect for but has yet to be declared infallible, is addressed by a court of law. And I also think we should pursue potentially a statutory fix for the reasons that you've identified. I see it as a dual track. But if the statute, as Harry interprets it, can be read in a certain way that's different from the district attorney, I'd prefer to have a court decide that, particularly where we have documents that could be picked up by this ruling that would put us in a detrimental position on Superfund.
I have a different course of questions, and that's regarding your statement that there's another segment of Oregon statutes that addresses attorney-client privilege. Has attorney-client privilege ever been ruled on by the Supreme Court?
Frequently. The rule is a rule of evidence. Well, there's a rule of evidence. There are rules of professional conduct that require us to maintain the confidences and secrets of our clients. And the district attorney basically said that both of those gave way in this instance to that catch-all provision in the public records law that made all public records disclosable after 25 years. I am not aware of a situation in which this issue has reached the appellate courts yet. Otherwise, we would have had a clear answer. And we
about a public body.
Yeah.
But for other entities, attorney-client privilege?
Well, other entities aren't subject to the public records law. So, in essence, what we're trying to do through this resolution is get a ruling that puts you on equal footing with private clients whose communications with their attorneys are privileged forever.
Thank you.
And can I just make a qualifying point? We get different kinds of legal memos from our attorneys. So, for example, sometimes we ask them to give us a memo that just outlines the legal landscape. What are the laws? What's been the case law? And what are the boundaries that govern our decisions? I have less concern about those becoming a matter of public discussion because they don't involve the kinds of strategic decisions that we have to make in light of legal risk. A memo that says, in light of X, Y, and Z, the city might have this exposure and we recommend the following actions, no one in a complex litigated administrative proceeding has those legal memos put into the public record because they compromise people's positions. And if we can't get candid legal advice about the strengths and weaknesses of our case without fear of them becoming part of the public domain, then what the net effect will be, Mayor, we won't ask for them, in which case I don't think we'll be making the same kind of wise decisions based on at least the best guidance the law, the legal team can give us about legal liability. And for that reason, in that narrow instance, I think the district attorney's decision doesn't make sense. And I would prefer to have a court try to reconcile the different provisions of the statute. Commissioner Novick?
Commissioner Novick, I have to say that I thoroughly agree with the principle that attorney-client privilege is attorney-client privilege, and I don't think that there's should generally be a time limit on it. But I'm just wondering what your thinking is as to that language, notwithstanding ORS 192.501 to 192.505, and except as otherwise provided in et cetera. What's our argument that 192.501 to 505 does not implicitly cover attorney-client privilege?
If you don't mind, we have able lawyers who've been briefing us on it. Harry, what's your response to that?
Well, the argument would be that the attorney-client privilege, so the public records law doesn't specify matters that are attorney-client privilege. It specifies an exemption for things that are privileged or confidential under law. And the best argument we're going to be able to make is that notwithstanding the public records law, the attorney-client privilege itself continues to make those communications privileged. It's not a slam dunk by any means, but we're trying to preserve our ability to give you the best legal advice that we can.
When I was briefed on this, Mayor, and I don't claim any expertise on it, and as you know, we are all committed to responding in a timely way to public records. Our office bends over backwards to expedite production of documents that we can, and we believe strongly in the idea of transparent government. This question, though, about whether all privileged documents from the city attorney's office that go beyond just advising us as the law and provide strategic advice and give us best judgment about risk in cases that are still ongoing seems to me to present a significant challenge. And I was persuaded when Harry briefed me that we should do both. We should raise this as a question for the legislature to ponder, but we should also seek an appellate ruling so that we have clarity about where to go next.
I hear you. I guess the situation in which an issue is still ongoing 25 years later is obviously rare. The Superfund, as you argue, is one of those instances. So your understanding is the law makes no distinction between legal issues that are still ongoing versus just history that for some reason somebody wouldn't want to disclose.
Harry, is that right?
The records that we are...
Statute doesn't make that distinction. That is correct.
I believe the records Mr. Bartlett wants are connected with the reservoirs, which I'm not sure we're entirely done with yet either.
Right,
so
right.
Mr. Walters obviously has something to add here.
Yeah.
So Ben Walters with the city attorney's office. Part of the dilemma here is that, Jennifer Johnston, who worked on the public records request response, is not in the office today. And so Harry and it came in to help with this matter. But I know a little bit more about it, having conferred with Jennifer. The dilemma that we face is that there is a very quick turnaround time for filing an appeal. We have to give notice to the requesting party and the district attorney of our intent to file an appeal within 7 days of the order being issued. And so we had to bring this before you on an expedited basis. There was a question about is there any interpretation out there that exists for a different outcome? And I would just note that Jennifer pointed out to me that the State Attorney General's office is actually not of one mind on how this provision, the waiver provision, should be interpreted. They've issued conflicting opinions, arriving at one conclusion many years ago that determined that the exemption, the waiver exemption, applied across the board, and then subsequently, more recently, within I think the last decade, issued an opinion in which they concluded the opposite, that the waiver provision was a general provision and did not control in specific circumstances, which is a different canon of statutory construction. So there is some disagreement out there among the folks who have been asked to interpret this. So there is an opening there for our office to seek some clarification from the judiciary and get a determination as to which one of these analyses would control.
Mayor, I have a suggestion,
because
this is a obviously complicated area. If we don't provide notice of intent to appeal, we can't appeal, so the door is foreclosed.
Right, I understand.
And we have, from time to time, protected our right to appeal issues so that we can later decide not to or to proceed or on what basis. So that's the first question, and that seems to be time-sensitive. The second has to do with the scope of Mr. Bartlett's document request. I think it would be entirely appropriate for us to ask Jennifer Johnson to brief a council member about the scope of that request and to see whether any of those things can be resolved informally, because we would all prefer to have non-privileged, non-sensitive documents produced for obvious reasons. And the third is that we could say that before, since notice of appeal is different from appealing, we could say that before city attorney files any appeal, we have a follow-up discussion about the utility of that versus legislative relief. So that today we're just limited to getting approval to put a marker down for a notice of appeal, which we would otherwise lose. And then when Jennifer is back in the saddle, we can talk about a range of options, including potentially not appealing.
Let me just clarify. Excuse me. I'm a little under the weather, so I'm sucking on a lozenge here. I apologize. The statute requires that we give notice of our intent within 7 days of the district attorney's decision, and that we file the action within 7 days after that, or else we're required to pay the requester's attorney's fees whether we win or lose. So you're basically, what we're trying to do is save you the expense of having to pay Mr. Bartlett if he hires an attorney if we win the case. So I just want to be clear on what's at stake with the 7 and 7.
Again, I propose a dual track where we make every effort to produce all the documents that don't fall within any concern we have, and we get a clarifying ruling about when does the public records law trump in any way attorney-client privileges in ongoing cases where, frankly, producing those documents puts us at a disadvantage with other parties that would like nothing more than to know our legal strategy and use it against us.
Yeah, those distinctions do make a difference for me. I find that more credible than my first view of this. So that's helpful. Thank you. Further questions for staff? Thank you both.
So we're approving the notice of intent to appeal, but we're also basically...
You're authorizing us to go forward. That's correct. You're authorizing us to go forward.
Right. Okay.
All right, let's see if there's testimony on this item, and then we'll take action. All right.
We'll be back for...
Okay, yeah, and actually I think I'm going to... return briefly to a time certain item after this and then come back to the second legal case, but it won't take long, so stand by. Testimony, please, on this particular item.
51A, I have Joe Walsh, Nancy Newell, and Charles Johnson.
This is only on this case, please.
My name is Joe Walsh. I represent Individuals for Justice. I'm a little confused. Are you going to ask us to give testimony on both items?
No, I'll call you back for the second
item. No, I'm signed up for both.
Okay.
Which one are we doing now?
We're only doing the case that we just discussed, 51A.
51A. Yeah. Okay, that seems to me that an organization like yours that received an F in transparency would be bending over backwards to releasing documents to people to satisfy dissatisfaction that's going on in the community. It's hysterical to me that you're arguing something that sits on the fence, and your arguments, Commissioner Fish, very good arguments, but they're not going to carry the day. It's not a slam dunk, you know? You're even saying it's questionable. Why in God's name would this body, with your reputation of not giving out documents, do something like this. What is it that you win if you vote on this and you win in court? What is it that you win? You aggravated a district attorney. That's what you've done. And you do that over and over and over again. You don't see, what's that term? The big picture. You don't see the big picture, guys, ladies. Please, would you think about this? This is not a big deal with me, obviously. However, I don't go out of my way to aggravate a district attorney. And that's what you're going to do. Because he's saying, in his opinion, this is what you should do. And you're saying, yeah. And that's your attitude a lot. Yeah. We sit here and we dictate what we want. And you're going to eat this one too, which is really sad. You know, how many, you're totally dependent on your city attorney's advice. And their advice lately is not very good. Think about it. Maybe you ought to bring in a lawyer someplace that's objective and says, hey guys, release this stuff. Don't be jerks. Just release it. And as far as arguing that you have the same privacy rights as I do when I go to a lawyer, that's a tough one. Because when I go to a lawyer and we talk, and that's privileged communication, there is no huge federal agency looking over our shoulder. It's done. What you guys are asking is not done. And two lawyers on this council should know better. So don't vote for this. This is really bad stuff.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Nancy Newell. I've won a federal case with the county and the county lawyers being in error. And it was a significant one because it was Enron controlling our electric grid. And it was critical because of the actual criminality that was happening at our own World Trade Center headquarters and the full approval of the state, the Public Utility Commission, and the city. Now, I'm here today because this is a big mistake on your part. You're spending legal money, wasting time. We have a COAB process that's a very serious community effort. Hours people are putting in. Commissioner Saltzman's representative rarely shows up, doesn't even show up at committee work sessions. We're trying to get things done. They've been declared public officials. They didn't come in knowing this. They've been restricted in what they can say, how they can say it. And you don't even know what the laws in this situation, which is critical, and the reputation of transparency and the lack of trust at the level this city is suffering is unbelievable. And people are dying on the streets. And people are not being fed. And 3 out of 4 Americans now live paycheck to paycheck. And they're homeless, and they're sick, and they're sicker, and they're freezing to death. What in the world is this council about? I've won the case. You know what the federal judge ruled? And this was when the ballots were sent out illegally and had an illegal ballot title, and he ruled in our favor. And they allowed them to send it out early. And you know what our recourse was? One page in the Oregonian on an illegal election. So we don't have a lot of faith. And we have Warren Buffett running PacifiCorp and throwing coal trains and wasting our time and killing future generations. This is serious stuff. And people are out there being very upset because they should be, because not enough attention is brought to it. And this is one of the areas where you can do some really good work. And I'd like to see Mr. Saltzman get his rabbi representative to pay attention or replace him, because we can't get things done. We've been doing this for a year, hours and hours, not to mention lawyer hours advising us what we can or cannot do, when Judge Simon just ruled against you, and he's the settlement judge for the COAB. So where is our direction? What do we do? Are we going to end up in jail or something? I mean, it's really that confusing. So let's waste less time, spend millions less, get much better results in cooperative relationships with council, with police, and try to have a much better atmosphere in this city. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning, commissioners, council members. My name is Charles Johnson, and it's tragic that you're being grossly secretive. You're clearly demonstrating why, regardless of whether it's Fred Stewart or Chloe Udaly, Steve Novick needs to be replaced, and why no matter whether it's Ted Wheeler or Jules Bailey who wins, we'll be better off than we are with Charlie Hales and this gross secrecy.
About this, you have a two-page PDF attached to the agenda item. The only thing that's really relevant in there is swindler. It should say Joe Glicker. There's nothing in this to let the people know that this is relative to litigation. I know you're taking the high road and saying, just like when you did your idiotic, stupid appeal of Judge Simon's ruling, which you lost. Oh, sorry, you negotiated a consent decree that changed some semantics. This is the same crap from you and your 40 overpaid, worthless attorneys, making almost probably $100,000 a year. Nice $400,000, $4 million there. So,
Mr. Johnson,
yes.
It's okay for you to insult us, but do not insult city employees.
Freedom of speech. Get an injunction to stop me. So, what we have is a situation where you're not telling the people what's really going on. You're saying, oh, we're protecting attorney-client privilege. We're noble high road. You're trying to hide facts about public actions regarding the reservoirs, which you're using as a tool to pump money through contractors so that you can adhere to some ridiculous, unenforceable LT2 crap about the reservoirs. You're hiding all that crap just so you can say, we must do this today, otherwise we'll have to pay attorney's fees to a guy who doesn't even have an attorney. He's just a citizen making a public records request. Do not pursue this appeal. You won't be trapped by any. This is a lowest level court decision. It's not going to constrain you by any horrid precedent. You can do whatever you want the next time the case comes around. Don't do it. Resign.
Next, please. Go ahead.
We also have Mr. Robert West to speak.
Come on up. Mr. Davis, are you going to testify?
Yep.
Go ahead. Well, go ahead while he's coming up.
Oh, talk now?
Yes, please.
So you guys are... I actually wanted to talk to him, and he left, so maybe I'll let him talk.
Oh, go ahead, please. He had to leave. I don't know why, but go ahead. You're on.
Well, basically, he's saying not to insult city attorneys. That's ridiculous in itself. That's called the First Amendment, and these same city attorneys, you know, are here as the hired gun to crap on the Constitution, to shit on our Bill of Rights.
Please, come on.
You know, this. If the city attorneys use toilet paper that has the Constitution printed on it, I think they're worthy of our insults. And, you know, you guys presenting this appeal is ridiculous. What's all the big secrets here at City Hall? Are you guys trying to hide stuff? Because I know you definitely haven't released the surveillance footage of me being arrested when I was filming on November 25th. So that reeks of a cover-up. Why can't my lawyer see the real surveillance footage that shows that I did not push the G4S security goon of yours, Mike Cohen, who's a former cop from L.A., you know? You're the police commissioner, and you're allowing your personal bodyguard to falsify police reports against me? You don't think that's a conflict of interest? And why is G4S, an international mercenary firm, even policing at City Hall? These guys are being used as an extrajudicial wing of the police, and I actually think that you, personally, Mr. Police Commissioner and Mayor, conspired against me to have your G4S security goon tackle me and falsify a police report against me. I'm actually accusing you right now of being responsible for that because you've been trying to remove me from City Hall since the first day I ever came in here when you guys altered and deleted my testimony. You blacked out the audio and you went over and blacked out the screen so people can't see what I'm talking about. I was talking about a child molester who's linked in with the police agencies around here who's now doing a 25-year prison sentence. And I just can't see what the big deal is, why you guys can't allow a few voices of dissent in City Hall, and you're so determined
very much
to appeal this ruling.
Thanks. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, my name is Robert West, And just the secrecy just boggles my mind. First of all, the city is a public entity. The mayor's office, city council, doesn't own the city. The people of the city of Portland own the city. You guys work for the city. The city attorney's office works for the city. If someone in the city wants some kind of documents, regardless if it's from the city attorney or not, they should be able to get those documents. I'm somewhat shocked at the way the city's been handling things lately. In my civil case, I showed Amanda Fritz when I was injured, not last November, but November before that, hospital documentation. City attorney goes, well, the city's not responsible for what the Portland police does. When they announce everyone into the center of the street, you're all under arrest, and then they arrest protesters for standing in the street after the officers told people to get into the street. City attorney goes, well, they voluntarily were arrested. Okay, the thing is we can't, you're asking us to trust you guys, and you guys have constantly sat there and showed that we can't trust you. We can't trust that those documents, that what happens later on when those when there's a legal thing going on and the city attorney goes, well, I'm sorry, we don't want to produce those documents. Those documents are not people's individual documents. They're the city of Portland. They're owned by the public. They're not owned by the mayor's office. They're not owned by the city council's office. They're owned by every person in the city of Portland. The people of the city of Portland pay their taxes, you know, to make sure that everything's taken care of. Okay, that should also include any documents that the city of Portland, that people want. Filing this appeal is ridiculous. What you're saying is you're saying, well, we want confidentiality when there shouldn't be confidentiality. You guys are responsible to the public. The city attorney's office is responsible to the public. You know, well, how can you be responsible to the public if the public can't see what you're doing? I mean, to me, this there should be no appeal. The DA's office was right, and I hate to say it, they were right. You know, the people of the city of Portland deserve better than what they're getting. They don't deserve confidentiality. They don't deserve confidential meetings.
Hey, and thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, anyone else want to speak on this? So, further discussion.
Secrecy rules so this, Portland.
Let's take a vote, please, then, on the resolution.
Fritz.
Thank you. Thank you for bringing this. This is an important principle. There are many important principles at stake here. To me, attorney-client privilege is somewhat sacrosanct. The United States Supreme Court, in my understanding, has ruled that it survives the death of the client, it survives the attorney leaving the firm, it survives all kinds of what-ifs later. It's forever. And that's the United States Supreme Court has said that. So what we're asking for is parity on attorney-client privilege. I also liken it to the patient-provider confidentiality in healthcare.
I'm not individual.
Hey, let her speak.
I'm no longer a healthcare provider, but I still do not reveal personal information about people that I worked with. And it's distracting when people yell because I lose my train of thought.
No, one more time and you'll be excluded. She gets a right to speak just like you did.
Commissioner Fish's example of Superfund is a really good one, in that it's quite likely that it won't be resolved within 25 years and that privileged communications between counsel and attorneys would then be available to the public and to other parties in the conflict. So the natural conclusion, if there's until and unless we can get clarification from the legislature, is that attorney-client advice to the counsel will become oral only. There will be no documentation of it in case that could then be used against the city in future cases. And as a council member who's not likely to be on for the next 25 years. I want to be able to ask my attorney, our attorney, the council's attorney, for the advice that they gave to previous councils and to have some record of it. It's going to be really difficult for future councils if there's no record, because that advice might have been so sensitive that it wasn't written down. So I think it's an important clarification that needs to be asked. I believe there is a conflict between the different state statutes, and it's reasonable for us to ask for that clarification. Aye.
Fish.
Commissioner Fritz, that was such a succinct and thoughtful statement. I'm loath to add to it, but I would just add one point. Someone who testified admonished us not to dictate somehow the outcome of this. Let's be clear. The procedure has been established by the legislature, and this is how it works. If there's a disagreement about a public record, it goes to the district attorney, who, based on limited submissions from the party, makes his or her best ruling. The law says that if either party, the citizen or the government, think the district attorney, who, last I checked, doesn't fall within the zone of infallible, got it wrong, either party has the right to go to an impartial judge. Mr. Walsh, you of all people, it seems to me, would be celebrating the fact that impartial judges decide these
questions. My name,
no, hey, he gets to use, he gets to say whatever he wants. Mr. Walsh, he's speaking, you're not.
Don't use my name.
He was talking to Joe Walsh.
We should celebrate having independent judges decide these questions, because that's the very issue we're going to take up later today about a judge's ruling. So what we have been asked to do by our attorneys is to ask a judge, an impartial judge, based on the information from both sides, to tell us clearly whether we are required to turn over documents, sensitive documents covered by an attorney-client privilege, after 25 years. It's a very narrow question. And if a court disagrees with our view of this, I think we should take it up with the legislature, and for the very reason Commissioner Fritz alluded to, and that is Superfund. And I think it would be substantially prejudicial to the public interest for us to turn over confidential opinions from our attorneys about liability and strategy in Superfund, which the polluters in that case, that are perfectly happy to stick us with all the liability could use against us, in that instance. And I regret that people don't sort of embrace the obvious logic of that, but I think it's worthy of having an independent judge tell us yay or nay, and I think it's entirely appropriate, and it's exactly what the law contemplates. So I vote aye.
Saltzman?
Well, I appreciate this discussion. I have a lot of respect for our district attorney, Rod Underhill, but I do believe, given this discussion, we have a valid issue to appeal for an impartial opinion. Aye.
Novick?
I agree with all the policy arguments that my colleagues have made, and I respect the city attorney's office, and I signed on to considering this matter today. But I have to say, just looking at the statutory language, where 495 says, notwithstanding ORS 501 to 505, and it's 502 that exempts public records or information, the disclosure of which is prohibited or restricted or otherwise made confidential or privileged under Oregon law, I just don't see a way around this, and I think that the law should be changed to make it clear that attorney-client privilege is attorney-client privilege, but given the law as it currently reads, I vote no.
Hales.
Well, I had some reservations and still do about whether we should move forward with this, but I'm persuaded by the council's discussion, so I appreciate my colleagues' analysis of this. I think it's going to have to get resolved by the legislature. I don't think this is going to get resolved in court. But if our attorneys want to go get a judge's decision as at least one step in the process of resolving the conflict between the two statutes, then that's a reasonable step to take. Aye. Okay, with the council.